say you are going to Los Angeles, Anaheim Hills in Orange County. So what do? We get on I-5 and keep going south, south, south for 2-3 hours. Finally, you come to the exit, which says Anaheim Hills. So I-5 has almost brought us to our goal, but not yet completely. I have not reached my friend's house. And so then I take the exit, and then the GPS tells me, you know, go 1 mile, make a left turn, and then make a right turn. And after 3, 4, 5, 6 turns, you have arrived. And that's when you say, okay, I've reached my friend's house. So the Bhagavad Gita is divided into 3 sections of 6 chapters each. And they are based on Tattvamasi, the famous Vedantic saying from the Upanishad, which says that thou art. This total consciousness that is everywhere is not separate from you. You are part of that. Everybody is that total consciousness. Even the chair, the bird, the plant, fish, everybody is an expression of that. So that you are. So we are all that consciousness. So the first 6 chapters talks about me. Who am I? And so the 6th chapter is the culmination of the 1st section, I. This individual, this ignorant individual, this jiva who is trying to reach the highest goal. The 7th to 12th chapter talks about that consciousness, Bhagavan, that God, that Allah, that Father in heaven, that total consciousness, who is our goal that we are trying to reach, trying to know. And the last 3 chapters, 13 to 18, tells us the connection, how I can do that. I want to become one with God, reach God. So the 13 to 18 chapter are the practical methodology of reaching. So the first 6 chapters is where we are. Today we will be starting the 5th chapter. And the end of it, of this section, is the 6th chapter. So the first 4 chapters are like I-5. They almost brought us to the goal. What is the goal in the first section? The 6th chapter. 6th chapter is yoga, dhyan yoga, or yoga of meditation, which connects me with that. Through the process of meditation, I understand I am that consciousness. So the first 4 chapters are like I-5, which have brought me to close to Anaheim Hills, but I'm not at my friend's house. So then what do I have to do? Go on the surface streets, make left turn, right turn, left turn. So the 5th chapter is that. 5th chapter is the connection. So far, we are almost up to the 6th chapter, which is our goal in the first section. But the 5th chapter is the connection. Gurudev says it is the bridge. It is the bridge. It is the small turn. So the 5th chapter has a lot of importance, because so far in the first 4 chapters we have studied, I think Ashok ji did it in detail last week, so I won't spend too much time. But in the 1st chapter we heard about Arjuna's grief, Arjuna's confusion. The 2nd chapter, Bhagavan tells him that you are that consciousness. Everybody is that Atma. All the soldiers, the kings, and we are all eternal. And then Arjuna, and then he summarizes this, the entire Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan does, and then he explains to us about the man of wisdom, the Sthita Prajna, who is established in its knowledge. And then the 3rd chapter starts with Arjuna's question, Jayasi Cheta Karmanaste Mata Buddhir Janardana Tad Kim Karmani Ghore Mam Niyo Jayasi Keshava. So he says, you have said that knowledge is better than karma. Then why are you asking me to do this horrible karma of fighting this war? And then Bhagavan explains to him about karma yoga, that you are not doing it for yourself, but you are doing it for the higher cause. This battle is between good and evil. It's not a battle between Arjuna and Bhishma, or Arjuna and Dronacharya. It is a battle between good and evil. And in the 4th chapter, he actually goes into the path of knowledge, where he says that all activities you do, you dedicate to me, to the Lord, and live a life of moderation and self-control. And the fourth chapter he ends with, compared to Dravya Yajna, Jnana Yajna is superior, is higher. So the path of knowledge is the highest. And he also says that just as a fire burns wood, so the knowledge can burn all our ignorance, our karmas. And Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam, so approach a teacher with Shraddha and then you will get the knowledge. So this was Arjuna's question. The reason I am mentioning, because the fifth chapter also starts with Arjuna's question. And the question seems very similar. What he asked in the third chapter, yoga and knowledge, action and knowledge, he seems to be asking again. So somebody might say, I came when the third chapter had started. That was several months ago. And again, you are in the same place. Have you not progressed? So that's what happens if you come once in a while. So regular attendings is important. So Arjuna understands through the fourth chapter, he has understood now. He has been lifted out of his ignorance. First, he was completely confused. I don't know what to do. He was sitting on the bottom of the chariot crying and left his bow and arrow and my hands are shaking and all. Now he has woken up. So he started asking questions. So you will see in the fifth chapter, which we will be addressing his question. His question shows that he has already thought a little bit, because he has understood that the goal of life is not only just to eat, drink and be merry or just to enjoy life, but I have a higher goal. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna repeatedly says, set your mind on me, you will reach me. You will reach that highest goal, you know, what is Shreya? So again and again. So he knows that there is a higher goal and he has also studied the Upanishads. But he had some confusion because he did not know the difference between karma and yajna. Karma, he thought, was just doing rituals. You know, just doing rituals, offering the fire, swaha. That he also thought is yajna. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna explains to him that karma is not only action, but action can become karma yoga if it is done for the higher. And then yajna is not only offering in the fire, but offering your ignorance in the fire of knowledge. So that is also a yajna. That's why he says even eating can be a yajna. We had studied that verse, Brahmarpanam Brahma Havihi, Brahmagnav Brahmanahutam, Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. So the food I am eating is God. The one who is being offered is Brahman. And the act of offering is yajna. And what is the goal? Through this food that will nourish me, I should reach Brahman. Brahmaiva Tena Gantavyam. So he knows that. So there is a stepwise evolution in our spiritual sadhana. First we start with tamas, ignorance. I don't want to do anything, I just want to relax, you know, do nothing. So they say, no, that's not good. You know, you can't do, you spend your whole life doing nothing. Go out and get a job, you know, do some work. So then he starts working, but he works for himself. Me, myself and I, or at the most my family, you know, I'm working for them, for my family. So that is called desire-prompted activity. So from tamas, he has come to rajas, where he's doing desire, which is good, is better than sitting home doing nothing or collecting a welfare check. At least he's working. But then as he gets into the yajna spirit, where he starts working for the benefit of all, my actions should not only benefit me, should also benefit society. Part of his time he devotes to community service and all. Slowly his actions become more sattvic, and then he's ready for the highest knowledge. And our Vedas also have the same gradation from one to the higher. And if you know the four sections of the Vedas, that is the mantra, the brahmana, the aranyaka or upasana, and the Upanishads. So the mantra portion is just talks about nature, describes the beauty of nature, because these rishis stayed in the Himalayas or on the banks of the Ganges, and you know, nature was plentiful at that time. So the entire mantra portion is devoted to nature. The second portion, brahmana, is dedicated to doing rituals, but rituals for So a particular gain, like if I'm not having a child, so you call the Panditji and then he will do some yajna and, you know, hope and give you prasad, and hopefully you will have a child or whatever you desires you have. So that is the Brahmana's portion. The third portion, Aranyaka or Upasana, is Upasana of the Lord who has created this whole beautiful nature and given me what I want. So slowly my actions from selfish become unselfish, become dedicated to God, and only then when my mind is pure, then I am ready for the highest knowledge, which is the Upanishad, which is you are that consciousness. And Gurudev in his commentary says that the first three sections or the first four chapters are like the flower, and the fruit is the sixth chapter. So the process from the flower becoming a fruit is in the fifth chapter. And just as the flower appears to disappear and become the fruit, but the essence of flower and the essence of the fruit is the same. So similarly, the essence of the first four chapters through the fifth chapter is transferred to the sixth chapter. And sixth chapter is the yoga of meditation, which takes me to the supreme state, at least makes me understand that I have not yet reached, because we are all, you know, in the fourth chapter. But as we study, especially the second portion, where the seventh to the 12th chapters are beautiful description of who is God, what exactly is his nature, and how we can, you know this God. And so that is the seventh to the 12th chapter. Very, very beautiful description. So as we said, so using the fifth chapter as a bridge, we will reach the yoga of meditation. And the fifth chapter is titled Karma Sannyas Yoga. So we'll talk about what is karma and what is sannyas, and what is the difference between karma and sannyas, and karma yoga and sannyas. Because Arjuna, now he's convinced, okay, I must do karma yoga. After third chapter and fourth chapter, he's convinced, I must do good, not only for myself, work for the betterment of society. But then there is also something called sannyas, which he has heard about. So he wants to know what is the exact difference between karma yoga and karma sannyas. So that will start with Arjuna's question. So we'll just chant the first verse. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Atha Panchamo Dhyayah. Karma Sanyasa Yoga. Arjuna Uvacha. Sanyasan karmanan karma Krishna.
Sanyasan karmanan Krishna.
Punaryogan cha shansasi. Yashreya etayo rekam. Tanme bruhi sunishchitam. Together, Arjuna uvacha sanyasan karmanan Krishna punaryogan cha shamsasi yashreya etayorekam tanme bruhi sunishchitam. So Arjuna uvacha, the student asked, what did he ask? O Krishna, O Lord, sannyasan karmanam, so giving up karmas. So the giving up of karmas, one time you say that is better, sannyas, punar yogam, and sometimes you say karma yoga, shamsasi means you praise, prashansa, you know, it's a Hindi word. So shamsasi means sometimes you are praising karma yoga, sometimes you are praising sannyas. Now, which of the two is Shreya? Shreya means better. Shreya we have talked about, but we'll address that again today. So out of karma yoga and out of karma yas, karma sannyas, which yat, that which is shreyam, etayo, of these two, ekam. Just tell me one. You know, you are telling me karma is also good, yoga is also good, sannyas is also good, and then another place he says Sankhya, the knowledge is good, and Bhagavan will address Sankhya also in the fifth chapter. So all these terms are very confusing. Which is the one that is best for me? You please tell me. Tat, that, me, bruhi, please tell me. So nishchitam, tell me clearly, because he's still confused, because he's still not out of his original confusion. He's getting better, like we all are also still. The whole Gita we have not studied yet. So a lot of concepts are not very clear to us. So through the study, as we study together, all these concepts will become clear. Karma Yoga we have already understood, we have studied. But what is sannyas and what is Sankhya, the knowledge, will all become clear. So but Arjuna says, please tell me clearly which one is better. So we'll spend a lot of time discussing Arjuna's question, because his question is a highly evolved question. Remember in the third chapter, he said, I want to know the difference clearly between action and knowledge. So here it seems the same, but actually it's not. He's talking about karma yoga and karma sannyas, which is the action, but done with the right attitude, and how action can be given up, or the giving up of action. And what do we exactly mean? Because his idea of sannyas was, I don't want to fight, so let me put on orange clothes, I'll go in the forest and meditate. But he's not ready for it yet. Was he ready for that highest knowledge at this moment? He would have had to go to a teacher and sit down, and so we'll talk about his question. So Arjuna is like all of us. He's an intellectual. And what does the intellect do? Divide. This and this. Is it black or is it white? Is it Republican or is it, you know, Democrat? Is it technical or is it, you know, botany or is it physics? In college, when we have all these different sections, you know, philosophy and psychology and science and art. So the intellect loves to divide. Intellect does not see the unity. To see the unity, you have to go beyond the intellect. The intellect will help us study the Bhagavad Gita. But then in my meditation, in my study, I have to go beyond the differences that intellect shows, because he is different from her and from me. And we all think everybody is different. But when you see the unity of all, that's the difference between us and the saints and the great prophets, who could see that oneness. So we have to go beyond the intellect and grow out of the intellect. So here in this chart, the body, mind and intellect, with the body I perceive, with the mind I feel, with the intellect I think, and then there are vasanas. So I have to go beyond the intellect to Om. So that is the goal of this study. And Arjuna thought that there are two separate paths. One is path of karma yoga, one is path of sannyas, and I cannot do both. Which one is better? If I go one, then will I lose the other? So he had all those questions. And he was thinking they are independent paths, and that's what his doubt was. Now the word Shreyas and Preyas comes in the Upanishad. And Shreyas is path of good and Preyas is path of pleasure. But I was listening to another commentary by Swami Bodhatmanandaji where he says Shreyas is self-realization, knowing that I am the self and we all are the self. That consciousness is Shreyas. And what is Preyas? Preyas is, instead of finding happiness within, I try to change my surroundings and get happiness. If only my husband changed, you know, then I would be happy. Or if only my job changed, or I'm tired of Bakersfield, if only I could move to the coast and get out of this, you know, this valley fog and all. So we look for, or, you know, or I could change my spouse, or only if my children listen to me, or only. So Preyas is trying to change the surroundings, and Shreyas is change myself. I change myself, and then situations may come. Like we may encounter very rude people. I'm walking on the street and somebody pushes me rudely and walks away, and I've just finished my meditation and my mind is so peaceful. I'm walking, going for my morning walk, and suddenly I get disturbed. I get angry. What's wrong with this guy? But if I think for a moment, maybe he didn't see me because he was trying to find a direction. He was trying to see where he has to go. So what Shreyas will do is teach me how to deal with situations, whether they are good or bad, whether it's my family, whether my work, whether my surroundings. Good or bad situations will come in everybody's life. Kabhi kisi ko mukamal jahan nahi milta. You know, there's a very that famous ghazal from Umrao Jan. I love hearing that. That nobody's life is perfect. Everybody's life, that's why they say in every life there should be sunshine and there will be shadows that will come. So how to discover the joy within so that no matter what happens in the surroundings, I remain calm, and that is the goal of Shreyas. That is the goal of Bhagavad Gita. So when he says Shreyas, that is what he's asking, that how can I deal with situations no matter how difficult. And sannyas, people always think of sannyas as putting on orange clothes, or for Christians, you know, wearing a priest's habit or a nun's habit. So it's the physical, yes, it may help, but true sannyas is mental. You may be dressed like a priest or a monk, but your actions may be very, you know, may be very bad. And so, or on the other hand, there may be a person who is a householder and is able to, you know, and we have so many examples like King Janaka. He was a king, and despite living in the palace and having multiple wives, he was realized. And then there may be another one who may be a priest or a monk and may do actions that are very against all his. So physical renunciation helps. You know, if you can give up everything and spend all your time in spiritual pursuit, that helps. But ultimately, renunciation has to be mental. But yes, it is more difficult to do it in a household. If I'm living a householder's life and I have to worry about paying the bills and the children's education and all that, then to devote all time to sannyas is difficult. And those who have done that, who have left the world and become sannyasis and are full-time devoting their time to, you know, listening and to the teacher, studying, and then they don't have to worry about what they have to do, in the sense, especially like the Swamijis, you know, the Brahmacharis who go to the Chenmaya mission and they spend 2 years in study, they don't have to worry about their meals. The three meals are given, a simple meal is given. They don't have to worry what clothes they have to wear. They all have to wear yellow, the same clothes. And, you know, they don't have to worry about a roof on their head. They're given a room. But then what 2 years they have to continuously study? Morning to evening, they are studying. They are, you know, meditating. They're, whatever they are taught, then they are tested on. They not only are given lectures, a couple, two, three lectures in the day, they are taught Sanskrit, and then they are expected to go home and go to the room and prepare. So that's why this chapter is called Karma Sannyasa, where it's not that you stop working, you do a different work. Previously, I was working just for taking care of my family or earning a livelihood. Now my goal is different. My goal is self-realization. So I'm doing different duties. I am studying, I am meditating, then later on they become teachers, as we see all the Swamijis when they come here. Swami Ishwaranandji and Swami, of course, Guruji Swami Tejomayanandaji, who was the worldwide head, Swarupanandaji. So after they have studied, they teach. So they are as busy as we are, but the nature of the work changes and the quality of the work changes. And the goal of life is to understand I am Atma, I am that consciousness. That is the goal of every spiritual seeker. If it is not, it should be. But our understanding is Aham Deha, I am the body. And so that, to give up that identification and I am the mind and the intellect. You know, when my mind is upset, I am upset. When I am confused, I am confused. You know, when my intellect is confused, I am confused. When my body is hurting, I am hurting. My body is hurting and I take care of it. My mind is upset, but the ability to distance myself from this body, mind and intellect is what we learn in meditation and in this class. So that is the idea that I have a body. I am not the body. That's first of all, my first idea is, I think in Tuesday class also, Neeru is doing the same thing. First idea is, I am the body. Second idea is, I have a body. That's a little bit better. Third idea is, there is no body. Nothing is exists. Only that consciousness exists. So there are three stages of spiritual growth. I am the body. I have the body. And then there is no body. Now that is difficult to understand right at this moment. But as we study, slowly you will see in the various chapters, Bhagavan will tell us that I alone am everywhere. Everything is that. And there is whatever I am seeing, this difference, whether it's Anil or Kerry or Satish, or those are all names and forms on that expression, on that consciousness, there is an expression of an individuality. So that is called stage one and stage two. Stage one is the stage of service, karma yoga, which will give us purity of mind. As I serve the community, as I do more unselfish, my mind will become purer. Mind will be filled with more love, compassion, kindness, unselfishness. And with that purity of mind, then and then alone, I can go to the next stage of karma sannyas. And the whole chapter will talk about karma sannyas. So today is, I'm just giving an introduction. But these ideas will be repeated throughout the chapter. So if it looks like it is something that is difficult to understand, it will become very clear. And there are two kinds of students. Say they both graduate from college, from university. Now one says, okay, I've graduated from the university. Now I need to get a job. So he goes out, applies for a job. And then I have to get married, have a family and, you know, have children and all those things, grandchildren and all that. The second student is like what I was talking about, Swami Bodhatmanandaji or Guruji, who after graduating, like Swami Ishwaranandaji, was a software engineer in those days when computers were hardly known. And if he had stayed in computers and stayed in business, he actually even started a job. He could have been a top executive in some software company, even have owned his own company, somebody like Premji or something. He could have been a very high top somewhere in India or even here. But he chose to give all that up and he gave up everything. And now what does he have? Swami Ishwaranandaji has nothing. He has three pairs of clothes given to him by the mission. He has a computer given to him by the mission. He does not own a house. He does not own a car. He lives in a room in Los Angeles, or like the room we have here, given to him by the mission. But look at the difference. Look how many people are being benefited. He travels all over the world, all over the country, giving talks, how much respect he has. So we may think that he sacrificed all that money, power, house, you know, servants, cars, you know, being a millionaire he could have been, and now he's penniless. But look at the difference, how much respect people have for him, how much good he's doing. So it, again, it's not that one is superior to the other. It is depending on your interest. Depending on your interest. If one student wants to have a career and work, they say, go ahead, do it. But do it, do karma yoga. Work for the benefit of society. And have this viveka, what is right, what is wrong, what is my goal, what is not my goal. And what is nitya, what is anitya, what is permanent and what is temporary. That understanding I must get from the teacher. And contact with the teacher is very important, because the teacher is the one, that's what even in the fourth chapter Bhagavan says, approach the teacher. Pranipatena pariprasnena sevya. Prostrate to the teacher, bow down with humility, and then ask him questions with seva. I heard a very beautiful story about teacher, about knowledge. I'll share it with you. So there was this very rich man, had a richest man in the town, had a beautiful house, lot of wealth in the house, money, gold, everything. But he had the best security system you could buy, best security system, cameras, alarms, and everything. And he had guards who were patrolling constantly and very well, like, because he was afraid, because everybody knew how rich he was. And there was a thief who was equally smart, who said, I have to steal this wealth. That was a challenge. You know, like in the movies, they show how the people rob the banks. So he was studying carefully what is the security system, how often the guards patrol every 15 minutes and all that. Everything he memorized. And so this said, he said, okay, tonight, and that particular weekend, he saw everybody leaving. The family had all left. Only the guards were around. And he said, this is a good time. You know, Friday night, I'll rob his house. And he was all ready. He had about 15 minutes. He said, I'm going to... His guard will be patrolling, and after 15 minutes, he will take a break 15 minutes, and then, so in that much time, I have to rob his house. So he said, 15 minutes, what am I to do? He was getting bored. It was night time. So he said, oh, there's a mandir, there's a temple here. Let me go sit in the temple. I have nothing else to do, so at least go sit there. You know, he had heard that temple is good to sit. So he goes there, and there is a Mahatma, a wise saint, giving a talk. And so he just sits down and, you know, he's just listening. There's no interest in the talk. And suddenly the Mahatma starts talking about the higher worlds, you know, the ghosts and spirits. That happened to be the topic. Of course, different day, a different topic. And the Mahatma said that spirits don't cast a shadow. The difference between us, like we cast a shadow when we are sitting, but the spirit or the ghost, there is no shadow. That is the difference. He only heard that one line, and then his 15 minutes were up, so he left. So he had heard that one line from this Mahatma, that spirits don't cast a shadow. So then he very carefully, you know, bypassed the alarm system, was able to turn it off, and the cameras he was able to avoid. The guards were on the other side, and he got into the house without any problem. He had studied. He's collected all the money, the gold, the jewelry, whatever, you know, he had a metal detector. He found everything, put it in a bag. As he was leaving, he saw some figures in the hallway. He was, what are these? You know, somebody is seeing me and I'll get caught. And he was so scared and sweating, and he almost dropped the bag. And then he remembered the Mahatma said that spirits don't cast a shadow. That was the only line he had heard. And he saw that these figures, there was no shadow with them. It was part of the alarm system, the security system. So he said, yeah, these are not real figures because I don't see any shadow. So that one line saved him. So he collected the money and bag and he walked out. Otherwise, he was so afraid. And he stole. There was no problem. He got what... But then he started thinking to himself. He said, one line I listened to the Mahatma, it saved my life. I could have been caught. What would happen if I listened for a whole hour? So he said, tomorrow I'm going to sit and listen for a whole hour. And he went and listened for an hour. He said, wow, this is wonderful. Second day, third day, every day he was hooked on this knowledge. And then he stopped robbing and he became a saint. He became a very wise person. And Bhagavan Shri Krishna in the Gita says, Api chet su duracharaha bhajante mam ananya bhag sadureva samantavyam samyak vyavasito hi saha. He says, no matter how bad criminal acts you have done, but if you approach me with love and prostration and she decide to change, in my eyes you are already a sadhu. He says, once you have samyak, once you have decided this is the life you want to live, then I consider you a sadhu. Doesn't matter. So the point is that this knowledge can change you. That no matter how many sins we had talked about, I think 2 weeks ago, but once you have decided, but what people do is they find it very difficult. You know, imagine a whole 2 years. We go for a retreat, 1 week retreat, and we say, that is enough. You know, 1 week I stayed there, I listened, and I didn't go anywhere. And, you know, if you go to Piercy, it's a very beautiful place, and they do have 1 week, 2 week retreats. After 1 week, are bahut ho gaya, enough. Now let me go out and have some nice food in a restaurant. Let me have some few drinks. And let's do some travel. 1 week is enough. You know, overdose. You know, it's like too much I have gone. But imagine 2 years of doing that and then lifetime of that. You know, so the point is that it requires sacrifice. It requires effort. And it is a gradual progression. You know, some people can directly go. So there are, in our spirituality, there are 4 ashrams. There's a Brahmacharya ashram, Grahastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, and Sannyas ashram. So 4 ashrams. So that means Brahmacharya is student. So the first 25 years, I am a student. Then from 25 to 50 is Grahastha, where I am supposed to have a family, take care of my children. Then Vanaprastha from 51 to 75. And then if I do live longer, Vanaprastha is retired, where I slowly withdraw from the world. And then Sannyas. And ultimately, I have nothing to do with the world except Bhagavad Bhajan, chanting the name of the Lord. So these are the 4 steps. But there are other students, as we have talked about in Chiang Mai Mission, who straight away from Brahmacharya went to Sannyas. They did not have a family. And we find all these Swamijis, straight after studies, after graduation, they immediately took to Sannyas, went to the Chiang Mai Mission, went to Mumbai, Sandipani, Sadhanalaya, and studied for 2 years. And then devoted their whole life to study, to self-realization, and to serving the world through their knowledge. So there are 4 ashramas, so not everybody has to follow that trend. Or there are other people who, while staying in Grahastha ashram, do a lot of service. The best example I can think of is Gaurang Bhai and Darshana Ben Nanavati in Houston. I don't know if any of you has been to the Houston Chiang Mai Mission. Wonderful job this couple is doing. They are Grahasthas. They didn't leave. They didn't put on orange clothes. They went to Mumbai, studied for 2 years. And then Darshana Ben, she completely gave her job and started working full-time for the mission. Gaurang Bhai for a while maintained his job, but doing teaching. And then eventually he even gave up his job, retired. And that Houston Center is huge. I think they have about 1,800 children. They have a huge building. And they have all grades from kindergarten to 8th grade, different classes and several hundreds of students. So the point is that while maintaining their Grahastha ashram, they have done such a wonderful job. Then there is a Shardaji in Flint, Michigan. Actually, she is also one of my teachers. She's the one who inspired me to start studying and teaching when I went to Piercy. And she's a householder. She has children and she has a husband. But full-time she devotes to the mission. She teaches, I think, about 10 to 14 classes a week. 2 classes every day, not only in Flint, but traveling all over. So the point is that even though these people are in their Grahastha ashram, they're doing so much service, so much travel, so much teaching. So the point is that what is my status? Person will say, I have 50% vairagya and 50% desire. So I have this much desire and I have 50% dispassion. Then you are not ready for sannyas. If you still have desire for the world, you want to wear nice clothes, you want to, have a nice house. And yeah, that's good. You want to do that, do it. But earn honestly with dharma and give back to society, if that is your goal. And slowly, as the 50% becomes less, becomes 20% desire and 80% detachment, dispassion, then slowly, slowly you can move in that direction. So in Sanskrit, there are 2 sannyas, Vividisha sannyas and Vidvat sannyas. So I'll just explain that. So one is the karma yogi who is working. But say I want to do sannyas. So he says there are two levels. One is Vividisha, that is the student who has gone to Gurukul, studied with the teacher, has put on yellow clothes, and then subsequently, starts studying, starts then eventually teaching, and then becomes a Swami. So So that is Vividisha Sannyas. Vividat, Vidvat Sannyas is like Gurudev, Pujya Gurudev, or like Buddha, or like Jesus, who have evolved to that status of self-realization. Then for them there is no duty. For a realized master, there is no duty. Gurudev chose to travel all over the world, work, but there was Raman Maharishi, I have talked about him. He just stayed in one place. He stayed in one temple, and whoever came, thousands of people came to him, and they've just left with the experiencing the peace of his presence. So he served by staying in one place. There was one philosopher who came to Raman Maharishi with a whole packet of questions. He said, I hope he has time to answer all these questions, real packet of questions. And then he sat down in front of Raman Maharishi, and after half an hour he left. He said, what happened to his question? Nothing. I said, I have no questions now. So this Vidvat Sannyasi may choose to travel like Gurudev. Every day he was in a different country. Every morning and evening he was giving talks. He slept only 3 hours. But was he any less sannyasi than Raman Maharishi? No. They are both the same. Or is he more than Raman Maharishi? No. Their level of achievement is the same, but it depends on their personality and what is their goal in life. So being just like Jesus, they said people just had to touch his hem of his cloth and they were instant peace. It was like they had become evolved souls. So that's the thing. Contact with these great Mahatmas is just enough for enlightenment. So question is, do I want to live a normal life? You know, people have this idea. What is normal life? Normal life is what you and I are living. And they consider the other one abnormal. But the Mahatmas think, they feel sorry for us. They say, you have an opportunity to learn this knowledge and you are wasting your time. So what is normal and what is abnormal is something for us to decide. But the goal of life is ultimately enlightenment. And that's what Arjuna is asking. So let's see, we have time to do one more verse where Bhagavan's answer, which one is superior. So we'll try to finish that today in about 10 minutes. And then next week we'll talk more about sannyas.